Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome, Pop Culture Stars. This is your special guest host tonight, kind of like the Muppet Show when they had somebody different every week, Dave Atwell, filling in for Dr. John tonight, who is driving, and we want him to get home safely, so he needs to be concentrating on his driving and not his hosting. So with all that being said, I'll be taking up the reins tonight. I hope everybody is doing well. I hope everybody has their Powerball ticket. If you're on the East Coast, you are SOL because it is now 2,100 hours and it's too late to purchase one. But 750 million dollars at stake Powerball tonight. Pardon the dog in the background having a fit. But, yeah, in the event that I win the Powerball, the first thing I'm going to do is buy a new butt because mine has a crack in it. So there's a good dad joke to start things off. So passing it on to the next guy with the dad jokes, my brother Todd Saxon, how are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding, the supernatural, ecstatic to be here, and, man, I guess I probably should eventually one day pay attention to the rates on those things and take a flyer on the bloody Powerball because I sure wasn't tracking.
Yeah, it was. I wasn't aware of it until I got to work this evening, and everybody's walking around talking about it. And I says, "Oh, really?" So I walked my fat little tail over there to that machine and said, "Okay, so I've got my." I got my numbers, and of course, my numbers have disappeared off of the counter here, which is not good. Did you take that ticket that was right there?
No, I didn't see it there.
Uh-oh. Mayhem, mayhem at that way, resident. So while I'm searching for my two Powerball tickets, I'm going to pass it on to Granny Hawkster. How are you doing this evening?
Well, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you, Dave.
And we got some good news for you.
Every Grammy's shortest intro ever. Awesome, Grammy.
That was very quick.
That was
a quickie.
Hey, I'm good. You know, I'm good. You know, everybody's good. You know, yes, I shared some good news with you, wonderful gentlemen, before the show, and Granny's a happy Granny right now. So.
That's a good thing. Hey, Velvet's on deck.
Yeah.
Hey,
up
Velvet.
Right now. Outstanding.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good to have you aboard this evening, young man.
Oh, thanks. Somebody called me young.
The funny thing is, Velvet, I'm pretty sure you got a couple of years on Dave.
Yeah, I probably do.
It's not the age, it's the mileage.
So, okay. I'll trade you any day of the week.
Good to have you aboard this evening.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Yeah, man.
Last but certainly not least, saving the best for last, as they say. We're going to go way out there to the great white north, or at least way as it is to us here in North Carolina. Tim, Indianapolis, how's it going tonight, buddy?
Oh, shucks. Thanks for the intro. I'm doing awesome. this week two for my sobriety on the podcast, but everything's going wonderful. I'm having a blast here, looking forward to a good show, and I have a little idea. It'll be a surprise, so I'll save it for our little around the horn for later. So glad to be
here. Wow.
And looking forward to a good
show.
Outstanding.
Good deal. Sounds good. All right, well, I'm going to migrate outside. So while I'm lighting my cigar and everything.
In between. Yep, I got an anecdote in between. For those married life, there's certain do's and don'ts in marriage. And, you know, sometimes I just can't help myself. So yesterday morning, it was rather brisk outside. Wife had finished going through a care package she had gotten and, you know, took all the refuse from it, getting ready to throw it out. So about 32 degrees in the morning. She goes out to throw the trash away. Just, you know, she didn't want to fill the inside receptacle up. So being sweet and considerate, she took it outside. And me being just as, well, the antithesis of sweet and considerate, I immediately locked the door right behind her and asked her if it was cold outside.
No.
Yeah. It's one way to make things exciting in the morning. Nothing like keeping spice in the marriage. Ed, rest assured, I unlocked it rather quickly.
Got one question for you. After that, did you get one on black eye or two black eyes?
Right?
Yep. I was like the old Adam family with the doggone pork chops over the eyes.
Yeah,
doing my best panda imitation at the time.
Because I tell you what, that first thing in the morning, that cold will get you. That's the one thing. That's the one caveat about having dogs.
Oh yeah, and she was just in her PJs. No house coat, no nothing. Just PJs.
You go out there and, you know, dogs always act like they got all week to pee and everything, and you're up here shivering and shit, and you're like, God, come on, find a spot. You know, in my infinite wisdom, if I got audio. Ah, there we go.
We hear you.
I have three dogs. That's how intelligent I am. So, but you know what's funny about them is they come out here. And let's see, Misty's 5, Sadie's 4. Mika, of course, she's only, 5 months, so she has an excuse. But the other two got to sniff the same acre or yard every time they pee. And I'm like, guys, it's like 6 degrees out here. I understand you got fur and run a little warmer than we do, but get on it. Find somewhere to piss and let's go. But... yeah, that cold first thing in the morning, man, if that don't wake you up. So, yeah, I'm sure throwing that lock was probably the last sound Yuki wanted to hear with. I bet you she's scared.
Well, as cold as she was, imagine that, she got heated.
Well, I got a funny story to share with you guys. When I lived up in Kansas, I was staying with my aunt and her roommate down in Grandview, Missouri. And it was shortly after I had my son and I had, you know, gotten separated from my husband, going through my divorce, and I, you know, moved back in with my parents. So I took my son down to my aunt's house for a while, and they were both nurses, so they worked nights. Well, they had a skipper key and a whippet. Kahlua was the skipper key, and Lacey Mae was the whippet. Well, they had taught Kahlua, you know, those bells that you ring, like when you want service, like you go to an old motel and you, you know, ding, 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 ding. Well, they taught Kahlua to ring that bell every time she had to go out and go to the bathroom. Well, one night they were working, and she started ringing the bell, and I opened the door, and the dog just looked at me, and she ran off. So I shut the door, and about 30 minutes later, ding, 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 ding. I mean, she did this about 3 times. So finally, the 3rd time, I said, that's it, Kahlua. You're going out to pee whether you got to go out or not. And I put her out on the deck to do her thing. And, you know, she went down in her yard, you know, in the yard, did her thing, came back in, and everything was hunky-dory. But she'd sit there and ring that bell, you know.
Yeah, once they learn something, a friend of mine who was a relatively big guy. He was probably about 350. And his wife had an aunt that passed away, and she had 2 birds that were like minor birds or something like that. I can't remember what kind of birds they were, but nevertheless, they weren't parrots. They were bigger than parakeets, smaller, you know, a little bit bigger than a parakeet-type bird. And so he says, what am I going to do with these birds? Because the aunt had left his wife with 2 birds in the will. So he's like, I don't know what the hell to do with these birds. So he put the cage up in the kitchen, right? Well, with this guy being a relatively portly gentleman, He was making constant trips to the microwave. So after about 2 weeks, these birds, whenever you walk by the microwave, walk to the microwave, the two birds would go beep, beep, beep.
That's hilarious.
Well,
it'd be even funnier if they did it when he was backing up, given that he's portly.
The same aunt of mine, they had an African gray parrot. And I don't know if you all remember the Disney. Oh, yes. Well, his name was Mr. Fidget. And the reason why they named him Fidget was they named him after that peg-legged bat from the Disney movie, The Great Mouse Detective, the bat that walked with a peg leg. That's why they named this bird Fidget. And Fidget, you know, he loved coffee. He'd say, "Mr. Fidget, drink coffee?" And so one morning Lois had come home from work, and she was sitting drinking her coffee and reading the paper before she went to bed for the day, because they worked nights. And he'd say, "Good morning, Lois." And she just sat there, and he says, "Good morning, Lois." And she just sat there, and he finally says, "Good morning, Lois." She says, "Oh, good morning, Fidget. That's Mr. Fidget to you." Well, they were having a guy do some work in their kitchen, you know, remodeling in their kitchen. And he dropped something on the floor, and he's like, "Oh, shit," you know. And the bird says, "Well, what'd you do? What'd you do?" You know, and the guy says, "Well, he says, "Oh, God, I can't believe I'm talking to a stupid bird."
That's hilarious. The funny African gray story, I think Tim will remember this. We were having a series of week-long conferences, and one of our workmates was calling in from her mom's residence, and her mom had an African gray. Really high strung.
No, get it off. Get it off. It's not happening. Cody's got an answer. Cody's got an answer to it. Got an answer. Not here. I don't have to do it. Good night, everybody.
Hello.
I was just letting whoever's not doing the mic thing get done with it.
The good news is it's not me. I'm safe.
Yep. All right.
And
so
not it.
So we got that muted now. The
clear and indie.
But periodically throughout the conference, that doggone African gray would just screech, and it just had a great way of doing it when it didn't need to be done. It was just classic. It was hilarious because that bird would. I remember the boss saying, "Come on, so-and-so, you got to mute that mic when you're not talking because of that bird." And it was hilarious.
There were a lot of people on that call. There were a lot of people on the call.
Yes, there were. Let's just say it wasn't like, probably, there were probably 30 or 40 people on the call.
It was not an internal call.
When we were kids, we had a neighbor that had a parrot, and it was named Poncho. And parents got mad at all the kids because that was the party house, basically. And you know, we taught that bird to speak really pretty badly. So one day at dinner, we happened to be over there for dinner, and Poncho's getting out of hand, and he's saying F this and F that, and they like, "Who taught that bird that?" And we're like, "Uh-oh." And so finally that bird goes, "Hey, Mama, Daddy's got no," and it said the D word, and I went, "Uh-oh." What the hell? I was like, "We got to go." And then as he got older, he got nastier. He would just, he recognized who you were. He'd go, "You're a dickhead, you're a dickhead." Or whatever, you know.
That's what kind of parrot was he, Velvet?
I don't know. He was just a regular parrot, but it was
McCall,
so
probably.
Funny.
There's
he was
different
green,
kinds,
but
you know.
I don't know, but he was green.
He could have been a yellow nape. Did he have like a yellow chest?
No. Oh. Well, maybe he did. I don't know. I remember him being nasty.
I worked in a place in Arkansas over at Eureka Springs that was called Wings, and they had different kinds of exotic birds from, like, everywhere you could think of. And then they also had this bed and breakfast place called the Queen Anne Mansion. It was an old Victorian-style house. Well, they hired me to, you know, go take care of the birds, and then I would go, you know, clean the rooms at the Queen Anne Mansion, you know. And so it was funny because when I went in for the interview, you know, I put a nice skirt on and a nice blouse. You know, I dressed up nice for the interview, you know, and they had a blue and gold macaw named Dante. Well, I walk in the room, that bird started whistling at me. Like, who's that? Who's that? and they had, like, all sorts of different types. Well, they had a yellow-naped Amazon parrot named Arnold. And Arnold became my very best friend. This bird had a 200 vocabulary word in Spanish. He could sing opera. He would laugh. He would cry like a baby. He'd go, la, 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 la. He'd say, señorita. He'd go, ole. You know, and then he'd go, oh. And he'd laugh, and he'd go, ha, 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 ha. And then he'd sit on my shoulder while I'd clean his cage. And I'd say, you know, Arnold, you got to go get back in your cage. And he'd say, ha, 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 ha. I'd say, Arnold, I got to go clean the mansion. I don't have time to mess with you right now. I'll be back, but I got to go. And he'd go, wah, wah. I mean, he sounded just like a baby crying. So, you know, he'd say, and he knew his name. He'd say, Arnold. And he'd go, nah. He did that smacking like he was going to give you a kiss, you know. So I taught him my name. And I came in one day, and I said hello to one of the birds. I said, good morning, King. And he goes, Lori. He goes, nah. He said, that's my name. That's my real name, Lori. And, of course, that was before Granny Hulkster was ever even thought of, you know. But so I quit working there, and I took my aunt and her friends. This was my aunt that lived in Grandview. I took them in there one day because they loved birds and they loved animals and stuff like that. Well, Arnold heard my voice, and he started going ballistic. And I'd say, Arnold, I can't take you out of your cage. I don't work here anymore. And I finally had to take him out of his cage, get him to shut up, because he would not shut up. I mean, he just, you know, and he loved on me and just, you know. But they had another yellow-necked Amazon parrot named Pedro, and he was old, and you talk about mean. That bird's beak was so pointy, and it was so sharp. He pinched me one day with his beak. I mean, he put an old, big old gash in my finger, and I was like, ooh,
yeah,
Pedro, you.
Capable of that.
Oh, yeah. But I tell you, Arnold was like my very best. I tell you, I love that bird. He was so phenomenal.
Well, here's Jacksonville. We got the marina. And I know Todd's seen this parrot, old Joe Jack, over there at the marina.
Yeah.
It wasn't too long ago. I was over there with Dale. We had dinner and had a couple beers and was smoking a cigar out there on the water. And Dale got this purse that's got a bunch of foliage looking flowers and everything on it. Well, Joe Jack actually pulls the damn lever on his cage door, lets himself out of his cage, gets up on that little rope fence type thing, you know, they got right there at the on the deck there before you go into the water. And he gets right in front of me. And, I mean, he's no more than about a foot and a half in front of me because I'm sitting in one of those rocking chairs. And he spreads his wings out and lets go of this just unholy noise. And, I mean, I can't even repeat it. I mean, it was just a screech like you never heard. And I'm just looking at him going like, all right, two things. I know this this parrot is a celebrity here in Jacksonville, but I will not die at the hands of a parrot. It's not going to happen. So he just held there, and I'm looking around waiting for the staff to kind of swoop in and save the day, you know, but ain't nobody paying no mind. Well, he holds it, and I just hold still. He ends up climbing down, and it's amazing watching him use his beak like a hand. But he climbs down this little rope fence to me and walks over to Dale's purse. And he's looking at me the whole time. But he goes over there and he grabs Dale's purse and is trying to walk off with her purse. I guess it's the design on the side of it. yeah, we put it on Facebook. It was funny. Bob Beck finally came out and he says, "All right, enough's enough, Joe Jack." So he picks him up, puts him in the cage. And I'll be damned if Joe Jack didn't stand there on his perch while Bob was standing there talking to me. And then when Bob went back inside, Joe Jack craned his head around, beak outside, made sure Bob was gone, stuck his beak outside, opened that damn latch again, and came and did it all over again. So you talk about
that's
smart.
Hilarious. They are rather smart, and I need to bring something out here. We're at 21 minutes after, so just... You know, Dr. John's not here, leaves the show in our hands, and within 5 minutes, the show has gone to the birds.
Well, Dante, he would, when I'd be cleaning his cage, he would try to sneak out of his cage, and he would chew on the, because he had like a really pretty wooden frame, you know, around his, I mean, he had a big long cage, you know, and stuff, and it had the glass doors, and he would chew on the wood. And I'd have to spray him with a water bottle to get him to go back in. And he'd hold up his wing and he'd say, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot." But I really did. I loved working at that place. That was a really neat place to work at. I mean, they don't have it anymore. They don't even have the Queen Anne Mansion anymore, but it was a fun place to work for.
But, you know, that brings up a good question about a parrot. Is, let's say a parrot is raised in a German household. Does that mean that parrot does, Ach der Lieber, you know, and carries on? It's the old Steve Carell shit about people saying nice things in German.
They're mimicking, so I don't see why they couldn't pick up any other tongue, if you will.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You could take a parrot, put him in different households and see if he starts coming out. You know, he's talking like Michael Caine in this house, and he's talking like Sophia Cigar in another house, you know.
Or what about the variant sounds? What if you had one raised in his cage, wherever he was brought up, was right next to a bathroom that had very low insulation in the walls. Would he just recite, you know, bowel sounds and everything all day?
Oh, wow.
Hey, way to find out. Let's start a crowdfunder to get me a parrot. I'll set one up. He could.
It reminds me of a joke I heard here a while back. This burglar, he breaks into these people's house and they had a parrot. And he kept saying, "Better watch out, better watch out. Jesus is going to get you, Jesus is going to get you." And, you know, the burglar, he kept doing his thing, you know, and he kept going through the jewelry. He said, "Better watch out, Jesus is going to get you." And finally he says, "Bird, will you just shut up? Jesus ain't going to get me." And the bird says, "Oh, yeah, watch out. Stick him, Jesus." And there was a big old Doberman pincher behind him.
Nice. That's classic. That's pretty good. Like I said, the show went to the birds early, and Tim took it to the, well, he took it to the cam rather quickly. So, yay.
We got to have fun. You know, it's all about having fun.
Absolutely.
It is.
So, to move along from parrots, before we go deeper into the parrot hole. Did anybody watch football this weekend? And the reason why I want to bring this up is not because, hey, we're going to make this a football show. What I want to do is throw it out there that Roger Goodell, if I was a fly on a name badge, I bet you Roger Goodell was having an absolute stroke. Why? Because the sweetheart quarterback, Russell Wilson, had already been eliminated. The Cowboys obviously didn't make it. God bless them. And then the almighty Pittsburgh Steelers were getting their asses paved by the Cleveland Browns. Okay? So you have, and you already have the New England Patriots out. All right? So you have all those money-making teams out there that are not going to be participating, not much, not even in the Super Bowl, but not in the playoffs anymore. Okay? So there is an actual possibility that we might be staring down a Cleveland Brown LA Ram Super Bowl. Granted, it's outside chance, but it's very possible that this may happen. If you're an NFL executive, what are you thinking right now?
I was thinking, from what I understood, my brother told me that the Saints and Tampa play each other this coming week.
Yes.
Right, which would eliminate another.
That would be two 40-plus-year-olds in the same game. So I'm guessing that's going to – are they going to call that the geriatric bowl?
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Those two 40-year-olds are playing way – hey, those two 40-year-old quarterbacks are playing way better than any other young quarterbacks that are playing today. They're still playing at a high level.
Todd, do you need to be reminded that every single one of us is older than those two quarterbacks?
No, I'm just saying. Well, I mean, let's face it, talk show
right?
nearly so
thank you.
Involved. But, yeah, well, and will it be brought to you by Metamucil instead of, say, Budweiser?
Oh,
Tell well, you, now, Granny's got to voice her Granny's got to voice her opinion on this, because I am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and they are going to be playing the Cleveland Browns in Kansas City. And we've got Patrick Mahomes. So
okay.
I'm hoping that, you know, and of course my son is saying, oh, wouldn't that be an amazing Cinderella story, Mom, if Cleveland just whooped up on your Chiefs? And I said, bite your tongue. I will wash your mouth. It's like Sunday, when my game is on Sunday afternoon, if anybody calls me on the phone, it better be an emergency, because I am going to be glued to my television. I didn't watch any of the wild card playoff games because I really didn't care. But Sunday,
I should care.
I've
got
to watch my Chiefs.
You got two teams to get through.
I know.
Buffalo will be the second one.
Well, we had the first week bye because we clinched the number one seed, and we got home field advantage all through the playoffs. I know.
That's not always a good thing.
I know. But I mean, I'm hoping that we can make it to the Super Bowl again this year. That's what I'm hoping for. You know, but win or lose, I will always support my Chiefs no matter what. So.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's going to be an interesting thing because, and you know, of course, you know, if you're in the NFL home office or front office, your thing is all about money. You really there isn't a whole lot of you know, hey, I want this team, because you've got to be, despite the fact we know there's not, there's got to be some type of neutrality. But
it's funny because the story right now, I mean, now don't get me wrong, State Farm, or is it Allstate? With
State Farm.
They're probably having a stroke right now because they've got a possibility of State Farm Bowl between Rodgers and Kansas City. But
yeah,
it's you got to stop and wonder just what is going on behind the scenes there, because you're looking at teams that either smaller market, smaller fan base. For a fan, on a fan's aspect of things, I'd be tickled to death to see Cleveland in there just because they haven't. It's always refreshing.
And that would be a sure sign of the apocalypse, and this is coming from somebody that grew up in that area.
That'd be the end of the day. But wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, I think it'd be fine.
No, it'd be cool. Go ahead, Tim.
No, you're good. Go ahead, Todd.
I signed up as a Brown Packer, I don't know, decades ago, and just never really logged back in type thing or whatever. But I do remember what my username was. It was Glutton for Punishment.
Yeah, Dave, just to piggyback off of what you said, when what I'm curious about, and I can't even remember, I don't even know where the dang Super Bowl is being played at this year, but all I can get through my head is, and obviously Tampa Bay. Oh wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I don't think we've not had a Super Bowl yet where the home team has played. You know, in other words, the Bucs.
Right.
I don't know what the possibility of that's at is happening. The person, I think they're going to get beat. But anyway, you know, the millions of dollars that usually go in to set up, and I know, well, I don't know for a fact, but I, living here in Indy, we hosted the Super Bowl, you know, just a few years ago. And, man, they went all out. Curious what, you know, because they're starting to let some fans back in. I don't know, like, what determines it, if it's a team-by-team decision, if it's a city decision, but I'm curious what it's going to be like at the Super Bowl, and I'm curious how much money is going to be lost, and are they still going to go to that extreme to set up, you know, the Super Bowl Village, have all the games, have all the, you know, zip line, all the whole, you know, 9 yards of everything. I mean, typically when they do this, they go all out, you know, but I'm curious
right.
what the revenue is going to be like, and if there's going to be, you know, how much money is going to be lost.
And
well, I know all season long, Kansas City has allowed no more than 16,000 fans at a home game. And I read where Sunday's game against Cleveland, they're actually only going to allow no more than 15,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah, and some of them weren't letting any in throughout the whole season.
I know. A lot weren't letting the fans in at all. And they were just playing, you know, at an empty stadium. But I know Kansas City, they were allowing no more than 16,000. Sunday's game is going to be no more than 15,000.
Well, I didn't even think about that. But Arrowhead's traditionally like one of those loud, loud stadiums.
Yeah.
Kansas City fans are very much known for having one of the loudest stadiums there. And no, Granny has not. I've only been to one Kansas City Chiefs game in my whole entire life, and that's when I was a teenager. So I can't take part in that loud cheering. I just holler. I holler at my TV. I get mad at my TV. I get mad at the referees. My husband won't even sit next to me when I'm watching a football game because I get mad at the TV. I get mad at the referees. So,
yeah. It's amazing how we can't have 15,000 people in Arrowhead Stadium, but we can have 15,000 people in a Walmart on a Saturday.
Exactly.
But nevertheless,
exactly.
But yeah, it's going to be real interesting because there are a few stories left. I mean, you know,
And alluding to what we were speaking on about Brady and Breeze playing, I mean, we're talking statistically. I'm a big Breeze guy. I'll admit it. I got a man crush on him. I think the world of the guy. He could have been a Redskin, but Daniel Snyder wanted to go with a young kid named Jason Campbell, who I think is now working for Panera. And Drew Brees went down south to New Orleans, where they were formerly known as the Aints. And for those of us getting along in the tooth, you know, if you're in your teens or 20s, you always thought the Saints were like a dynasty team. No, boys and girls, back in the 80s, you couldn't get into the Superdome without wearing a bag on your head that said the word Aint.
Exactly.
Crawl.
Or the Bucs.
Because, yeah, and the Buccaneers, too. They were horrible for years.
Yeah, they were.
The true thing. Well, here's another thing on Drew Brees. Think about this. He had that injury, and they were sure it was a career ender, and he was going to be done. This was a guy whose career was over. A bunch of teams passed on him. I think Miami was one of the other ones that was courting him at the time, and they had passed on him. And, a guy that rehabbed his shoulder and has had quite the career since then. He owns like a ton of stats.
Oh, yeah.
And they said he was done.
Yeah.
Take a look at Peyton Manning.
Manning's another one. One lick would have put him out of commission and, you know, did what he did. It's going to be interesting to see, because I think that's going to be the marquee game right there, having the Breeze-Brady showdown again. But
yeah, well, the Saints already beat them twice, and the last time it was like 34-3 or something. It was crazy. They got crushed. I see a different game this time.
The only thing the Saints
have to say is thank God we're playing the Bucs and not the Vikings, because the last 3 years we have beaten them in the playoffs.
I lost money
thank
on
you.
That.
Uh-oh.
Thank you. But you know, I don't think the Rams have any more oomph left to get to the promised land. It's going to be between, I think if Breeze and those guys win, it's going to be between the Saints and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers to make it to the Super Bowl. And I would like, just on my personal end of it, I would like to see the Bills play the Browns in the AFC Championship. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Kansas City is tough to beat, but see, here's something. If you watch they had to beat the Steelers the last game of the season to get into the playoffs, which they did. Okay, it was ugly, but they did. But they had a game plan when they had to play them right back the very next week. You know, last week in the playoffs, they had a much better game plan, and they looked like they were going to war when they hit the field, and the Steelers did not.
Right.
And they got punched in the mouth right off the rip. And that was, you know, and of course, when the first couple of plays, the first play, he missed the ball because the Pouncey shot it over his head and they scored a touchdown. That was it for them after that point. They already had their heads down on the sideline.
I walked out of the room and I came back and I went, they scored. What was there, a kickoff return or something? I had missed the play and I didn't see it until a replay. That was insane.
Exactly. But you know what? They had a game plan to beat them, and they stuck to it from the time they kicked off to the last whistle blew at the end of the game. So, and I have a feeling they'll pin their ears back again this week too. So go ahead.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Because they're on a program. And like you said, you can tell that there was a plan. You could tell that they had a something going in. And I had done the same thing. If you're fortunate enough to have Spectrum cable like we are here in Onslow County, live streaming football is always fun because the damn thing crashes because the internet doesn't hold up for longer than about 20 minutes. So for the first 10 minutes of the game, I was cussing a blue streak because I couldn't get the damn thing to pull up. So I finally get it to pull up, and you know, when you get older, we've all had the experience of walking into a room and go, what the hell did I walk in here for? Or
I do that a lot.
You know, or when you walk up to somebody you've known for 30 years and you go, hey, partner, because you can't remember the guy's name. It happens when you get older, right? And when you wear glasses, you see things that aren't there sometimes, and it's because of the reflection off your rims and all this other kind of stuff. So I sit down with my beer, and the game finally comes up. And I'm like, ah, finally, Jesus Christ, you know, good, all right, fine. So I'm getting myself down in the chair, and I happen to glance up, and I see the 21-0. And I went, oh, 21-0. I go down to look and take my glasses off. I wipe my glasses off. I put them back on, and I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, they ain't been like 6 minutes in the first quarter, and it's 21-0.
Yeah.
What did I miss? But, I mean, the Browns were on a mission, man, and play ball like that, anybody needs to be watching out because And I'll tell you what saved the Browns. Was Odell Beckham. If the Browns go to the Super Bowl and win, Odell Beckham should be the MVP. Why? Because he's not there. He is a better player getting out the house and not being a cancer than what he is on the field, catching balls with one hand and being hateful to his teammates. So, that'll be the one shame if Cleveland wins at all, is that arrogant pissant will get a ring. But otherwise, it'll be fun. I mean, it would be good to see the Browns in there or the Bills. I mean, hell, the Bills haven't been in there since Jim Kelly's days. And Lord knows they went to the other thing.
I know Kansas City's going to have a tough game ahead of them because, see, Kareem Hunt, he used to play for Kansas City, and now he's a running back for the Browns, you know. So, and he had made a video on YouTube or Instagram or something. I didn't get to see it, but I guess, like I said, I don't know the whole conversation, so I can't say what he said because I don't know, but I know that basically he was being respectful to Kansas City to a certain percentage from what I understand, but yet he was putting out a warning, you know, I mean, or whatever, you know, whatever. Like I said, I wish I'd seen the video because I didn't get to see it, and I can't find it now. I was trying to find it and to listen to it to see what he actually had said. And I know Andy Reid had made a comment about what he had said, you know, and everything. And so it's going to be a very interesting game Sunday between Kansas City and Cleveland. So,
and you know, if we all recall, the Chiefs dumped Kareem Hunt on his head over that video. Now, granted, if he's out there beating on women, then yes. He does not need to be making millions of dollars playing pro ball. He needs to be locked up and carrying on. But he was another one of those guys that was – and it's funny how it goes with culture, is that if you go into a court, it's innocent until proven guilty. And you look at some cases out there, like Robert Blake, when his girlfriend mysteriously died, you knew damn full and well if he didn't do it, he had something to do with it, and he got out of it. The Casey Anthony thing, she walked away from it. And you know damn full and well that he had something to do with it. But
What about Adrian Peterson beat him with the belt? Come on, man.
Oh God, yeah, if that's a crime. I'm gonna... my parents are.
Oh, it was a crime.
But Kareem Hunt, the video came out, and if I recall, the Chiefs let him go that day.
Yeah.
So there really, there wasn't an investigation. There wasn't. It was one of those. Ooh, so and so said he did X. Pack your stuff. And I could see where that would be. That would leave you sour towards the organization and everything when they. And not to say that the Chiefs didn't handle it correctly. I mean, that's how culture is handling things now. And that's,
well, that's
my
how
point
business is done, though.
Yeah. What?
In that business.
Yeah, I would see where Kareem have some blood in his eye for the Chiefs and wanting to put something on. So between him and old Chubb, the two of them have been running all over. So
they got a shot, that's for sure.
It's going to be because Kansas City's playing Baltimore, correct?
No, Kansas City's playing Cleveland.
Oh, that's right.
Baltimore playing Buffalo.
Really? You probably, if we had an actual Cleveland fan, they would be really mad at you, Dave, given the whole way the Cleveland-Baltimore thing went down.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Yeah, because
that would be David Fights. David, if you're listening, yeah, next time you see Dave, just go ahead and sock him one.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it's funny. You know, the Panthers had their 25th anniversary not long ago, and I'm going, the Panthers have been around for 25 years?
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Wow. So, because the way, for those of you listening out there that weren't around for everything, the former Baltimore Colts that were of the Johnny Unitas fame went to Indianapolis. There you go.
I was going to bring that up.
And
I was going to say, if anybody's salty, it's Baltimore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They lost their coach. Yeah. Well, then the Cleveland Browns moved to Baltimore and became the Ravens.
Not exactly. The players, the owner, the staff, and all that went Cleveland, battled to keep the name. That's why they became the Baltimore Ravens. Where areas, using the history thing that we're using here, the Baltimore Colts, the actual Colts moved to Baltimore or to Indianapolis, thus they became the Indianapolis Colts, just to be clear.
Right. But then the Cleveland Browns became the Baltimore Ravens when they moved over.
Exactly.
And that left Cleveland. Yeah, that left Cleveland with no franchise there for a couple of years. And then, I can't remember how many years ago they went ahead and, which I was happy to see. I mean, because for those of us who have been around long enough, there is a certain amount of tradition that goes. That's why I'm not into this name changing thing. If you're going to be changing names, just make it a city and let it be, and do away with the whole, if we're going to be that sensitive about everything, we need to just say, okay, Philadelphia is playing Las Vegas. Chicago is playing Los Angeles. New York is playing Carolina, and let it be, because, there, you know, there's a lot of tradition, and like the Buccaneers take, for instance, right? And the Patriots, two good examples. I still like the old helmets. I still don't like the Patriots uniforms now compared to the red and white and blue with the old snapping.
Back in the day.
Patriot, yeah. The Buccaneer, the old orange and white and red with the with the Buccaneer, with the dagger in his
color combo was kind of ugly, but the character was kind of cool.
Yeah. So, you know, there's some of that stuff right there where you kind of miss the nostalgia in it. Of course, I say that. Anybody that's, you know, 25 years old is looking at the Ravens going, hey, I've been a lifelong Ravens fan.
Well, yeah, I guess you have.
Something like
how
that.
About those cream, how about that creamsicle uniforms that the Buccaneers used to have, that nasty looking thing?
Yeah, that's what David
the helmet was cool.
The helmet exactly. I mean, the character on it.
My favorite is when Indianapolis goes to play in Baltimore and they raise a bunch of hell and give them hell and they won't even put the Colts up on the scoreboard. They say Indianapolis team, you know, whatever. Those players don't even know what the hell they're talking about. They weren't around then. They don't care what you're doing.
They have no idea.
for sure. That's one of them. The, well, you were talking about sensitivity for names. Wait till the vegetarians go after Green Bay because it was named after meat packers.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, I have broken down the NFL, and I might have spoken on the show about this, but I have broken down the NFL name by name by name, right? So bear with me here. Predatory animals, violent cultures, religious or patriotic symbolism, and disabilities. Along with racial slurs, those five categories, okay? So let's just take the NFC East right off the bat. So the Redskins, we've already covered that 100 times. Giants, that's busting on people with Marfan's disease, giantitis, and all that kind of stuff. They got to go. The Cowboys, violent culture, because Cowboys, unlike what you would like to think, is, you know, the Cowboys are George Strait sitting on the back of their horses, lassoing cat, you know, calf roping and that kind of stuff. No, that's not what cowboys are. Cowboys were bandits, and they were violent, and they shot people in cold blood back in the late 1870s, 80s, and 90s. So violent culture, got to go. The Eagles, predatory bird, got to go. Panthers, that's the South, got to go. I mean, if you go down, now the Dolphins, somebody hit me with the Dolphins. Well, the Dolphins are okay. No, they're not, because dolphins can be predatory. Dolphins will gang up on sharks. We've seen where dolphins try to hump trainers at SeaWorld. I mean, these dolphins ain't no joke, man. I'm not screwing with these things. They're fun to watch in the water, but I'm not screwing with a dolphin. So,
if you ever watched them hunt, like Dave, it's an area you were in there at Parris Island. They will use all those little channels in the intercoastal, and what they will do is they will work as a team, especially at lower tide, and they will basically push all the bait fish to the shore and eat them off the shore.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just straight predatory stuff, man. So, I mean, they got to go. The Broncos, Dave, the Broncos, man, what do you mean? Okay, the Broncos got the asterisk. Why? Because they're not predatory, and it's not a violent culture, but it is animal cruelty, because a Bronco is not a Bronco until a certain act is done to their testicles, in which time a horse becomes a Bronco. So the Broncos got to go. So
which
I cannot explains don't have
why
my
they are
little,
bucking.
Yes, I'd buck too. Either that or I'd enjoy it, one of the two, but the bottom line is, I think the Colts were safe, and there was like three or four other ones that I believe. The Cardinals were safe.
Wait a minute. The Colts could potentially be Broncos, so I don't know.
Yep, could be future animal abuse, for all we know. Saints, Patriots, Vikings, violent culture. Raiders, the violent culture, they got to go. We can't have this. I am hurt. I am being triggered. So we have to get rid of this now. Ravens, ominous bird, somewhat predatory. It was also named after
Edgar Allan Poe influenced murderers.
That, exactly. So we've got another violent culture thing. Got to get that the hell out of there. Lions, they might suck on the field, but they'll kill you in Africa. So, got to have them. Bears. See you, Bears. Can't have that. Packers, hey,
alluding to what you were just talking about, being the and pardon me for saying that, also could be condoned as vulgar. So Packers got to go. 49ers.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that one. But
yeah,
that could be inclusive, too.
Yes. So that gets an asterisk just like the Broncos. The 49ers, those guys, if you ever read up on
hey,
the board,
San Francisco, what? Honey.
You go, boy. Hey, those aren't the 49ers, though.
Hey.
That's a different Niner you're talking about there, buddy. But, yeah.
We want to be Broncos, honey. Hey, I got to have y'all ever heard of the comedian Bob Nelson?
Yes.
Does anybody remember that guy? So anyway,
I do.
He does a thing with the football guys. Well, I got a buddy that he talks all this trash during our fantasy football, and he always posts video. So I'm waiting because he came in second. He's all boo-hooing because he lost. So I'm going to wait, and he's a Washington football team guy. So I came up with the new – the new fight song that I'm going to dress as Velvet, and I'm going to be a cheerleader, and I'm going to sing the new fight song. And then I'm going to pause it, and then I'm going to be like Roger Goodell, but I'm going to have this gold sequin jacket on, and it's going to say, in the Washington football team in the 2021 draft, select in the first round, tight end, Bruce Koskiowski, San Francisco University. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to dress up and I'm going to come out. Oh, my God, thank you for picking me. I'm Bruce Koskiowski, San Francisco University, tight end. Next year I hope to become a wide receiver.
Oh, boy.
Who's the guy that did the
MSN? With fantasy, I got to tell you a true story. when I was running fantasy leagues back in the day, one of my buddies, he couldn't make it, so he gave the script, what he was looking for, targeting positions and all that, to his wife to do it. And we did a conference call while we were doing the live drafts and all that. And when she got to picking the tight end and all that, one of the guys in the league was like, oh, Lisa, I love your tight end. And then he just realized how it sounded because, you know, he realized – how it could sound, I guess. And he was like, and you could hear him blushing on the phone. It was hilarious. And she just laughed. It was that was stinking great. Now, I know some of you all know this, but I don't think Velvet knows this, and I don't think Granny knows this. For the playoffs, I haven't watched football in years, run a league or anything like that. The just a personal choice. We'll leave it at that. When my son, just quick history on him, when he was very little, we were doing Green Bay was having a heyday with Brett Favre. And that just, you know, whether it was a road trip between Houston and Dallas, and we're listening to a playoff game, and he's hearing, you know, Brett Favre, and of course, he was hearing John Madden talk about Brett Favre and stuff like that. He became a Green Bay fan. So the year he was in boot camp, this is 2011, Marine Corps recruit training, the Green Bay Packers, which is the only publicly owned professional sports team in the U.S. was putting stock up. And there I am with a friggin' Walmart salary. I got him a piece of that stock as his graduation. So he is the one guy, or one of the, any of the Green Bay owners can say this, the people, but when he says, my team, he can really say that.
Yeah.
Maybe not completely his, but he can. But that was one of the really neat things. That kid was a Green Bay fan. He comes out of boot camp. They're in the damn Super Bowl, all that kind of stuff. That was just Andy got a piece of the stock. That was one of those just great, neat, unique, just bizarre timing things that in a positive way that you could do. And it was just really cool. I remember how nervous I was calling. I'm online. I'm trying to place the order. And I'm calling, trying to confirm the stuff because I'm like, I can't believe I can do this for that guy.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was a really cool thing. So if I have, you know, despite the fact growing up in the greater Cleveland area or whatever, just watching my son's passion with that, watching him having played football over the years, stuff like that, and actually being an owner of the Packers and stuff. Yeah, I'm kind of excited for him and actually Green Bay's chances this year. I mean, AFC-wise, I think their biggest threat is KC. Just, I don't know anybody's records or anything like that. I just know that, you know, I just track via social media pretty much.
Yeah, that's, well, you know, talk about Brett Favre, man. It was easy to like him because he was a guy's guy. Tom Brady. You know, I like Tom Brady, don't get me wrong, but it's hard to feel bad for Tom Brady because you know he gets to go home to her every night. So it's kind of like when Hugh Hefner died. When Hugh Hefner died, I said, there isn't anybody that's going to be at his funeral going, well, he's in a better place now. No, he can't be in a better place. He lives in a better place than this guy said.
Hey, when Tom Brady was a Patriots quarterback, and what's his name? Jeff Gordon retired from racing.
Right.
I used to pick on the Patriots fans because they were talking about, oh, his wife's hot and all that. I said, that's for show. He's going home to Jeff Gordon. Stop it. I used to make
really
Patriots
great.
Fans mad or dog get them.
Velvet, I thought sure you were going to make a comment about him and deflated balls, but I guess you kind of sort of did.
Well, the funny thing, you say that because I like the meme that I saw at the beginning of the year after game two. Tom Brady sitting on the bench down in Tampa, and he's sitting there and he goes, hey, you guys don't cheat here?
Yeah.
There lies another can of worms that needs to be opened up, the whole Belichick-Brady question. So now Brady is in Tampa Bay.
I think Brady was the fall guy for whatever they were doing because he was the premier quarterback, and I think whatever Belichick did, that Brady was going to have to take it for the team, take it on the chin.
Right, and Brady
and
was
I
a baby
think that's
fan.
Why he got out of there. Yeah, and I think that's
the
reason why
the same
he
thing that
there.
Happened when he went home to Jeff Gordon? He took it on the chin?
Oh, damn it. That was not right. Anyway, see what I started? You see what I started? Holy crap.
Belichick obviously did not connect. And they keep throwing Josh McDaniel under the bus with the whole Cam Newton thing. First off, being somebody
Cam Newton don't fit there.
No, he don't. And Cam is not Cam from – and let me go ahead and put this out there. I've never been a Cam guy. I didn't like him when he was at Auburn. I didn't like him
nope.
when he was at Carolina. He's just not my cup of tea. Just somebody else can like him. I'm just
nope.
not particular about the guy.
Well, I know sure. one thing that the Patriots did do. The Patriots went and picked this kid up. I can't remember whose practice squad they picked him up from, but – about four games left in the season, they went and picked this kid who off somebody, I can't remember what team it was, but he's 6'7". He's a quarterback. He's got a cannon. And if Belichick can do what he's done in the past, he should take that kid, keep him, and groom him and build the offense around him. That's what he does. That offense has to be built around the quarterback. That's how Belichick, that's how he works, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean,
you can see it's always a system.
Huh? I mean, he sure did, because
he had a fairly good offense going. He had help me out here because I can't remember who the quarterback was injured that Brady came in.
Drew Bledsoe.
He was a pretty solid quarterback.
Well, yeah,
and
the offensive line was crappy. That's why he got hurt.
Well, I can tell you where we got robbed, historically speaking, this year, was Julian Edelman being hurt, because Edelman was a quarterback at Texas A&M he went to, or was it Austin? I can't remember.
Something like that.
Anyhow,
I can't remember.
If you ever watch Edelman run, the reason why Edelman runs and is as good as he is because he doesn't run like a receiver. He doesn't run like a back. He runs like a quarterback. And how does a quarterback run? I'm glad you asked. A quarterback runs for his life.
Pretty much.
You know, if you look at most fullbacks, running backs, and that kind of stuff, it's all about pushing forward. It's all about driving legs, okay? Receivers, it's all about juking. It's all about outrunning your defense. Okay? But when you're a quarterback, you are running for your life. And if you ever watch the way Edelman runs, that's exactly the way he runs. So they could have conceivably moved him over and put Cam.
Yeah, they could have.
And that would have been something to see, is to watch Edelman play quarterback for a couple of games. That would have been interesting to but I think Edelman's done in New England. I think he's another one that's going to, you know, start looking for real estate. And of course, there's new room for him in Tampa because
they get rid of somebody.
Yeah, they've got too many guys to throw through down there right now as it is. I mean,
he's got way too many.
Yeah, but it's I think Edelman's days in New England are numbered, and.
Well, I think he had to play this year to get out of his contract. I think this is a contract year for him, because if you saw in the offseason when Gronk and him and Brady were sitting together watching whatever, I think it was a basketball game or a baseball game, and they were all sitting together, and they said, could this be the trio going to Tampa? Edelman couldn't get out of that contract. I think this was a guaranteed contract, and he's done now. So he can test the waters. And if I was him, I'd get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And now, you know, 5 years down the road from now, Belichick is still coaching, and perhaps he's redeveloped a whole brand-new team. Then, by God, the legacy is saved. It's just right now, you know, you got to question it. Is, you know, was it Brady? In the same way with the whole Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson thing. Phil Jackson went on to coach championships without Michael, so it proved his worth. But
he did it with Shaq and without Shaq.
True.
So,
go ahead.
Phil Jackson wrote his own legacy.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, if you never watched that Michael Jordan Last Dance, I'm not a big Michael Jordan guy, and two reasons why. Number one, I'm a Maryland fan, so if
Len
you recall, exactly. Thank you, sir. Hot damn, Lenny Bias, God rest his soul. Not only was he extremely athletic, but he was big. He was like LeBron is now. where
he
wasn't just the skinny kid playing basketball. This guy was a very well-built, muscular, athletic young man.
He had all the intangibles to be the biggest star in the NBA.
Most definitely. And unfortunately, well, you know, his passing and everything. And Michael Jordan stood alone. And so, you know, me being a Maryland fan, I was a little sour. The bad news was is that I was a Maryland fan who lived in Parris Island and moved to that was ball drama here. Stand by. But Jordan, when I moved up here, Jordan was God. So when I moved up here, all I heard was Jordan, 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 Jordan. And anything you're force-fed, you learn and dislike. So I was never a big Jordan guy at all, even when he was in the NBA. Just could not attach myself to him. But I can tell you, after watching the Last Dance, I gained a lot of respect for the guy. It's actually a very good series. If you get a chance to watch it, do it. And, yeah, I the whole new respect for Michael Jordan and what he's done. But, yeah, Lenny Bias, man, what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, that
was
bad.
He was going to play. And he was going to play for the Celtics, Superman.
He was going to be the next star. Go ahead.
Does anybody think that his let-me-try-baseball thing was an unofficial expulsion because of his gambling?
Possibility.
Maybe.
I remember when I first heard that, I was like, you're kidding me. And it had never crossed my mind. I thought he was just trying to do a Dion and whatnot. You know, we've had a number of ball players do that over the years.
Yeah, but Dion was successful at playing baseball and Jordan was not.
Right, right. And that, to me, makes it all the more creditable.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I mean, so it's one of those things that I won't rule out in my little brain housing group.
Well, I mean, you want to talk about gambling. The biggest gambler I thought during the Jordan era was Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
That man made and lost more money than all of us on here in probably seven lifetimes to put together.
And, and professed by. and boasted. You know what I mean? He actually made it. You know, he was like, hey, that's why my thing with Pete Rose. I mean, for God's sake. And I've said this about Bonds and the rest of them. My favorite ball player is Hank Aaron. So do I have a legitimate gripe about Barry Bonds beating his record illegitimately? Yeah, I do. But you know what? He still hit the home run. Okay?
Steroids does not teach or help eye-hand coordination.
Well, my suggestion about that whole thing was to take 25 feet off of every home run that was hit by, say, Palmeiro, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, all the guys
right.
that we know were involved in it.
Right.
Take 25 feet off of each home run and anything that would not have gone out of the park, you take away. Or your asterisk or however you want to handle it. Okay, so that being said, to me, Hank Aaron is still the home run king, greatest baseball player ever.
Of course.
Yes,
now,
sir. Yes, sir. I remember that home run chase growing up, and I was not a baseball guy, and it still permeated. Yeah, that was a big deal when he did that. That was so awesome.
And Hank Aaron did it with class. And he didn't take drugs.
Yeah.
He did it eating chicken. He did it drinking beer. He did it going to the park. He was a natural ball player. So here's my thing about the Hall of Fame. is that, again, and you guys heard me use this term over and over, is society's bitch. Okay? What is society's bitch, Dave? Again, glad you asked. So you put them in the hall. And as I'm walking through the hall and I see Hank Aaron, I stand there and I read the exhibit and I take pictures and I marvel at it. And I get a little misty-eyed because Hank Aaron is my favorite ball player. But then I walk up to Barry Bonds and I walk right on by it. He just became my bitch because I'm not acknowledging what he did. Okay? I'm not acknowledging his accomplishment. So, Pete Rose, when you
should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, if you look at all the rotten, I mean, between the dope, the violence, Ray Lewis, for God's sake, I still to this day believe that the city of Baltimore is cutting a check to a guy named Mr. X every year. And who is Mr. X? Mr. X is the guy who's in prison taking the fall for the job that Ray Lewis did.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, Ray Lewis is in the hall.
Absolutely.
Okay, but
so, Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what anybody says.
And you know what they'll do is they'll let it linger, and when the man dies, and that'll be so disingenuous and so.
Oh yeah, Charlie Hustle, let's go.
And he made a baseball inside.
A very applicable name for that too.
I'd rather see somebody who gambled. I don't care if it was his team, another team. Don't care. I would rather see that guy in the Hall of Fame than a guy who used performing-enhancing drugs to get bigger and stronger to hit balls 50 feet to 100 feet further. I'm sorry. I'd rather see the guy who was betting on the games. Because, really? I mean, come on.
You're exactly
so,
right.
So are we classifying wrongs here, if that's the case? Just a tangent. It's just, damn it. you know, I start thinking about that, and it's just like, why do I feel like that is less wrong? You know?
All right. Look at all the people who gambled. Look at everybody
cheating.
Who gambled. Yeah.
Maybe I feel that cheating... maybe I feel like it's cheating versus vice. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect
sense. Yeah, because you look at everybody who... Michael Jordan was a gambler. Pete Rose was a gambler. Babe Ruth was a gambler. You think about all the people who gambled in sports, period. We can name 1,000 people. I would rather see that than somebody who shot steroids up their ass and to get bigger and stronger. I'm sorry.
Now, keep in mind, we know that a lot of the gambling led to some pretty crazy crap over the years, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not
well, yeah,
your cap when you're a coach and all that stuff. So it's like it can, you know, God, it's like we're trying to right wrongs.
I think the question is you're gambling, are you – and I don't think Pete Rose ever did this. I honestly can't remember. But I think it would be ethically wrong if you were gambling, so to speak, to where you were going to try to control it. In other words, if you throw a game, I think that's wrong,
exactly.
And I think you deserve to get kicked. But if you're just – I mean, who doesn't do a friendly bet? Hey, if you lose, you know, you're going to wash me next week. If I lose, then, you know, I have to wear a dress. Isn't that a gamble? I mean, come on.
Yep.
It is putting lunch on a game or whatever. Yep. And we do that. And it's cute how that's harmless, but it's still technically gambling.
Yeah. But I mean, other than the harmful things that happen from gambling, but if these people were gamblers and didn't beat their wives or whatever, but they just gambled and lost money, won money, but they lost more than they won, I'll have an issue with it. And I'm not really trying to right or wrong. I'm just saying I just don't have – if it took away from their ability to play the game, then yes, that's wrong. But if they played the game like Pete Rose played the game and then he later became a manager, he's not playing the game anymore. So he was still Charlie Hustle.
Yes, sir. The hey, I hate to say this, but it's absolutely true. We are in the 20th minute, 22nd hour, 10:20 p.m. for the civilian folks out there. guys, and I want to, you know, it's a time where we get ready to do kind of some of the roundtable outgoing stuff.
Right.
The I would like to put this out there. The there were some IMs to the team earlier this morning. Hey, what's the plan? Do we got one? You know, you get a yeah. Somebody threw out something.
That was me.
I know it was, Velvet. The somebody. I'm just trying to throw it out general for the audience and try to keep it
right.
A little bit quick, higher level. The somebody threw in some kibitz, you know, let's talk about Ming Dynasty, and they were like, yay, I was just kidding, it was a joke, and we had those things. So somewhere around an hour before the show, it was, hey, Dr. John's on the road, not going to be here, what are we going to do? And somebody posted, let's just go ahead and spitball it, see what happens. And what a trip. I have had a blast tonight out of sheer spitballing this evening. All of us just kind of the magic
and listen,
of the team.
This group
kind
of people
of the magic
just,
of the team.
Just can do whatever.
Us hanging out talking. I would hope the listeners had just even a small percentage of as much fun as I've had tonight, because I've had an absolute blast.
Yeah, I think my surprise is going to have to wait until next week.
Well, Tim, why don't you use it as your outgoing thing?
Well, truthfully, what I had, I was doing my little out-of-the-box thinking because I knew we didn't have Dr. John and we didn't have a guest, anything like that. So I was just trying to come up with some stuff in case we had to kill some time, come up with some stuff. So really it was just a game. And I think we did quite a great job of covering the hour and a half. I'm all about football, so I wasn't about to cut that off. And honestly, I just had a little game saved up, but I don't care. We can try to roll through it. There's 7 minutes, but the others need to speak too. So I'm in no rush. It was really just something to do to kind of kill the time. We can save it for next week. Do what we want to do.
I'm liking it. If you think it'll be a good time killer, oh God! If time killer, God, that sounds horrible. If you think it would be better that it had the appropriate amount of time, is that better? The gads. Maybe we ought to do it that way. But I think roundtable, we ought to go ahead and run and go ahead and. The people do their plugs, a little bit of what you love, a little bit what you got going on in life, a little bit of something you want to share. So let's start with you, Granny.
Well, you know, I shared a lot of this with you, most of you, before the show. You know, my husband's situation with his job, come to find out, long story short, he's back in the shop working. They're basically going to let him retire on his terms. The county's not forcing him to quit because the judge actually fired his assistant the other day because he refused to turn in his resignation. And the judge's assistant was part of the problem. So, and everybody, all the bosses knew Monday that David was going back to work in the shop except David. David didn't find that out until yesterday. So my husband still has his job and he's still working. And he'll be with the county.
Really cool.
He'll be with the county 49 years in March.
What's really cool, I think, for those that didn't get it, he was going to, they had told him in the interim, okay, maybe as a halfway measure, you're going to be doing this instead. And he had already moved out his tools and stuff like that, but now he's back in the spot and still moving on, and that's really awesome. So, hey, cheers, Granny.
Hugs. And you know, and the funny thing was about this whole thing, you know, is they were trying. The judge's assistant was the one that was trying to get rid of him. I mean, even tried to get rid of him at the beginning of last year, beginning of 2020. And my husband stood his ground. He didn't back down. He won his fight. You know, he won, and you know he didn't back down. And you know, they're basically just still going to let him retire on his terms. You know, he's not being forced to have to quit. And you know, before he was ready. And you know, so that's, to me, that's a blessing. So
absolutely.
And go Chiefs. I had to throw that plug in there. Go Chiefs.
I like it.
Hey,
all
Chiefs
right,
has
Jim,
got to go too.
Got,
that could be another one of those slang terms. So Chiefs is no longer allowed either, Chief. So we'll just.
I know.
But
you know, Chief,
but
Black
but
Hawk,
you could say go Hefe, and that would be okay. I don't know.
Right.
So,
Jose,
right, Jim,
jalapeno on a stick.
On a stick.
Well, I'm still salty about the Colts loss. I know I'm probably the only one that cares about the Colts here, but if we just had a stupid kicker, if we just had a kicker that could make a damn 33-yard kick, we probably could have won that.
You can have ours. He can't do it either. You can have him.
There were a couple other mistakes. For example, how do you jump off sides when you know that's what they're trying to get you to do? Just saying. But,
yeah, right?
Know,
right?
Anyway. No, and Granny, nothing personal, but I'm not going to be rooting for the Chiefs. I don't want them to do it again. Nothing personal.
I know. And, you know, and for those people out there that, you know, I love to listen to these announcers. You know, they call Patrick Mahomes, they call him Pat Mahomes. And, you know, his mom, you know, his name is Patrick. And I had to laugh at Boomer Esiason one day. One of the announcer guys, you know, called him Pat. And Boomer says, what did you call him? He says, oh, wait a minute, Patrick. Pat. I'm sorry, Mama Mahomes. His name is Patrick.
Yo, that should be a whole other show we do is all on sports announcers because we don't have any quality ones now. Joe Buckley has a job to be done. The ones out there, right,
and he
should have
lost it earlier this season.
Yeah, yeah.
With the hot mic situation.
Yes. So I'll leave that for another show.
Let me ask you this: does Joe Buck and Troy Aikman? Does not Troy Aikman look like he's been on a 30-day bender of drinking? Do you see his eyes are red every week?
I cannot stand Joe Buck.
Listen,
I despise
Troy
that man.
I think that's the problem. I think Troy Aikman can't stand him even. Goes, shit, I got to drink tonight. I got to drink to be in this group with this jackass.
Yeah.
I cannot stand Joe Buck. I despise that guy.
But his dad was amazing. His dad was an amazing announcer.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah. Well, son's a little twerp. Needs to go somewhere else.
And Collinsworth is another one that is an absolute.
Oh my God!
Bonehead.
He's done. I hate.
He ate too much paste when he was a kid. You'd have thought he was the god of football.
And crayons.
Yes.
Too.
He's an ass bag.
Speaking of the Marine, I got an issue with those crayons.
I am going to walk in the house and get ready because the British
lady's telling us 1 minute.
Well, I'm gonna tell you who one of the good one. He was a half-ass quarterback, but I think he's a way better announcer, and that's Tony Romo.
Yeah, Romo's good. I thought I'd never hear myself say that, but he's
Well, at least he can do something, right?
All right, guys, we're down to five seconds. Good night.
Okay.
And thank you.
Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
everybody.
Good night, everybody. Well done, guys.
Hasta luego.
Great show.
And British lady.
Y'all are awesome.